Shmini Atzeres on the one hand is a Yom Tov Bifnei Atzmai. It's a new Yom Tov. On the other hand, Shmini Atzeres is after all the eighth day. So Shmini Atzeres is a very complicated day. Shmini Atzeres is the eighth day of the holiday. But the truth is, Sukkos really comes to an end on Hoshana Rabbah. It's the seventh day. We sit in the Sukkah for only 7 days. This, and many of us sit in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, it's only because we live in Chutz Laretz, and it's Sfeika D'Yoma. So Sfeika D'Yoma, so we sit in the Sukkah one more day. That's the whole topic of discussion. The Dalet Minim, the Lulav and the Esrog, we only take on 7 days. The last day that we take the Lulav and the Esrog is on Hoshana Rabbah. I think that Hoshana Rabbah is the end, is the Gemar. It's the last day of the festival. It has many unique minhagim, and a very special flavor. Now, a lot of the things that we do on Hoshana Rabbah are really Kabbalistic. Okay, it's really hard to put your finger in the Torah. It says nothing. In the Torah, Hoshana Rabbah is indistinguishable from today. The same way today is the first day of Chol HaMoed, Hoshana Rabbah is the last day of Chol HaMoed. It's the last day of Sukkos. There's nothing. There is absolutely no mention of anything special about Hoshana Rabbah in the Torah. All of the unique things that we do on Hoshana Rabbah are all purely tradition, Mesorah. It's Kabbalah, it's Takanas Chazal, Takana of the Nevi'im. It is something which is completely Torah Sheh Baal Peh. It's a very, very heavy element of Torah Sheh Baal Peh relating to Hoshana Rabbah. Now, one of the Hoshana Rabbah, first of all, you know, it's very interesting that Hoshana Rabbah, because there's really nothing that's rooted in the Torah, it's all tradition, there's a very, very broad spectrum over Klal Yisrael, a massively broad spectrum of how serious people take Hoshana Rabbah. You go to certain places, Hoshana Rabbah is literally a Chol HaMoed, regular day. No, so you daven a little bit longer. So you do Hoshana, so you go around the Bima 7 times, so you can mumble a little bit quicker. How long, if Shacharis takes 45 minutes today, so we'll take 50 minutes on Hoshana Rabbah. How much longer does it have to take on Hoshana Rabbah? Okay, so it depends where you go. And then there are people, I mean, some of the people over here where Hoshana Rabbah, it is literally Yom Kippur. It's Mamish Yom Kippur. Everyone wears a kittel. Everyone, the whole shul wears a kittel. And they blow shofar in between each one of the Hoshanas. And they do everything very painfully slow. And they stay up the whole night. They literally stay up the whole night. And, I mean, it goes on and on to extremes that I never I've never imagined. But I'm reading over here, I'm reading from the Didi Gravil. He brings in all the Minhagim. This is like a encyclopedia. He brings in all the Minhagim. Most of us, I think, are somewhere middle of the road, to a large degree. Hoshana Rabbah, none of us treat Hoshana Rabbah the same way we treat a regular Chol HaMoed. I don't think anyone over here goes to such a big extreme. Okay, diving takes a little bit longer. It's a certain different flavor of the day. It's, after all, it is Erev Yom Tov. It's a good kvittel. We know we take the Harava and we clap on the floor 5 times. All of these things are very mystical things. So we throw it on the Aron HaKodesh. We do all these interesting things, but we'll go through some of them talking very quickly. For most of us, it's somewhere in the middle of the road. Now let's start with, now a lot of things I'm going to tell you we do not do, and I'm not in any shape or form advocating that we should do these things. I'm just trying to bring out, you know, just to give it a little bit flavor of what exactly is going on Hoshana Rabbah. What exactly is this thing all about? So we'll present you some strange things that I have not heard of. All of these things, maybe some of you did, we'll discuss quickly some of these things, but it's not for practical use, it's just to get a bit of a flavor of what this day is all about. Obviously, Hoshana Rabbah, the reason why it is so significant is because it's the end. It's pretty much the end of the season. We start with Elul, and then we go to Rosh Hashanah, the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, Yom Kippur, Chag HaSukkos. And sukkah is something that is tangible. You sit in the sukkah, and you take the dalad minim, and it's the last day, because Shmini Atzeres, although it is a yomtiv, there are no mitzvahs. It is the most bizarre yomtiv of them all. What do you do on Shmini Atzeres? Nothing. Nothing.
In Israel, they do a lot.
What do they do?
It's also Simchat Torah.
Okay, no. So what is Simchat Torah? Simchat Torah is a man-made holiday. Man-made.
Vayisach
Sameach. The Torah says Vayisach Sameach, and the truth is Vayisach Sameach is only coming to the Marbe. According to the Torah, Vayisach Sameach is only teaching you there should be Simcha the night of Shmini Atzeres, not even the day. Not even the day. They're not called a chomer. We say once, since there's no such thing as differentiating between the night and the day. So once already the Torah told us that we should have simcha at night, so then the simcha at night extends into the day. But according to the Torah, what is Shmini Atzeres? What are you doing Shmini Atzeres? Nothing. You go to shul, you daven a yomtiv de gedavening, like yomtiv. You don't do malacha, unless you want to do malacha for oichel nefesh. And are there any mitzvahs to be busy with? Nothing. There are no mitzvahs. You don't shake lulav, you don't sit in the sukkah, you don't eat matzah, you can eat chametz, and it's not when you bring the omer, it's not that you don't bring the shtei, there's no special korbanos, there's no shtei halechem like shavuos, where you bring the shtei halechem. It's like Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur.
Celebrate with me.
Parecha, Yom Echad. And these are midrashim. Okay. But technically there's nothing, so Shmini Atzeres we have to put aside. Shmini Atzeres is itself a very mystical yomtiv. But as far as the basics of Rosh Hashanah, the Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, it's the end. The Hoshana Rabbah is the conclusion. It is the Gemar. It's also important to realize that the Torah connects Sukkot to Yom Kippur. How does the Torah connect these two? It calls Sukkot ulakachtam lochem bayoim horishoyim, pri eitz hadar. Why is Sukkot, the first day of Sukkot, called the Yom HaRishon? Well, simply you'll say it's a seven-day holiday, so on the first day of the holiday, you take for yourself the Lulav and Esrei. But Chazal, they tell us something, the Yom HaRishon, it's the first day, L'cheshboin Ho'avoynes. It's the first day for the calculation of sin. When were you forgiven for your sins? Yom Kippur. So the fact that it says that it's the first day when there's a calculation for sin is directly connecting Sukkot to Yom Kippur. So we know we have Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, that's certainly a set. And then Sukkot is just a continuation, because it's like the day, it's a continuation. Now that you've been cleansed, now you start fresh. The last day of that new start is Hoshana Rabbah. So we can appreciate that it's really the last, anything that is the last, the Gemar, the Acharein Chaviv, has special significance. Also, it's important to note, is that the carbon Musaf, it's the end. Let's leave it at the end. Now let's discuss some of the customs. First custom that many of us don't do, but this is very common outside of our communities, is that on the night of Hoshana Rabbah, you lane Mishneh Torah. Rabbi Vayevsky can do the whole thing in 1 second, right? On the spot.
1:20. Not anymore.
An hour and 20 minutes.
Don't focus as well.
An hour and 20 minutes.
I couldn't do it. 1:18 was my record.
1:18. Okay, I hear some people can do it in less than an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah, but I said
trouble. Okay, this is so there's something called Mishneh Torah. They were laying the entire Chumash Devarim on the night of Hoshana Rabbah. Why? What is the makar to do that? So there are different things that are said in Farsh. One of them, Iker, is a Zecher for Hakel. Now, even though Hakel was done once in 7 years, it was done basically the year after Shemitah, which will basically be next year. This year is a Shemitah year. Right now we're in a Shemitah year. So that means it would be done next year. Hoshana Rabbah was the real time to do Hakel, where everyone would come to Yerushalayim, to the Beis HaMikdash, and the Melech would take a Sefer Torah, it could be his Sefer Torah, and would read in the Ezras Noshim, from the beginning of Eile HaDevarim all the way until through the end of the Zayis HaBrach. So you'll ask the question, so why don't we do it only once in 7 years? So the answer is, it's like you blow shofar. You blow shofar when Yom Kippur is over. Why are you blowing shofar when Yom Kippur is over? What's the reason for blowing shofar? So the simple reason is because Yovel, that every 50 years they blew shofar when Yom Kippur was over, and that shofar sound is what freed all of the slaves and what relinquished all of the property to return to its original owner. And we, in our day and age, do not have Yovel. So because we do not have Yovel, we have to remember in our minds that there really is something called Yovel. So every single year, not once in 50 years, you will do something as a reminder that there is something called Yovel. When you have the real thing in front of you, you don't need constant reminders. It's only when you don't have the real thing and you live in a world of make-believe, then you have to have constant reminders. So Yovel, we don't have Yovel. We don't have Yovel. Because we don't have the real thing and we need a reminder that there is something called Yovel, every single year when Yom Kippur is over, we blow the shofar to remind us, you know, there's something called Yovel. And if there was a Yovel and we would blow the shofar, it would mean our property would go back to its original owner. Same thing. If we had a Beis HaMikdash and we had Hakel, we would only lay from Mishneh Torah once in 7 years. But we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. We don't have a Melech. We don't have Hakel. We live in a world of fantasy. We live in a world of make-believe. When you don't have the real thing and you need a reminder that there is something, a real thing, you have to do it very often. And that's why every single year, there are many people who have the custom to go to shul after Ma'ariv on Hashanah Rabbah and listen to somebody lain the entire Chumash Devarim, just like what we would have done had there been a Beis HaMikdash. We would go once in 7 years after Shemitah to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Azara, and to listen to the Kohen God, to listen to the Melech laying the entire Chumash Devarim. So it's a reminder for Hakel. That's one answer. Another approach is that being that Chumash Devarim is Musar, the entire Chumash Devarim, by and large, are harsh words of Musar. Hoshana Rabbah is the end. It's the Gemara. We had an opportunity, Rosh Hashanah, to do tshuva, and Yom Kippur to do tshuva, and now we're coming down to the very end. It's like the rabbi is giving a drasha. The rabbi is giving a drasha with fire and brimstone. And the best drasha we can possibly have is the drasha of Moshe Rabbeinu. The entire Chumash Devarim is packed, mounds and mounds of Musar. And that's why on Hashanah Rabbah, when we're coming down to the very, very end, we lane from Eile HaDvarim to the very, very end. This is a very, how long does it take? So Rabbi Messer is talking, his record is 1 hour and 18 minutes. There are some places it could take a good 2 hours, sure. A good 2 hours at least. Some even longer, some who, if you're doing less than 1 hour and 15 minutes, well, you're fooling yourself.
Different people.
If you do it less than 1 hour and 15 minutes, it's a joke. You're just fooling yourself. It's just not. This is not what it's. This is not. But a lot of people don't have. I know. There's a very, very big, very chosh v'rav. I just popped in there once to his shul. I was around the corner from somewhere. I don't want to see what's going on, and I saw the rabbi himself was going out of his mind. He was walking around the shul hakafis during a Mishneh Torah because he has no zitzlish, the rabbi.
I went to school 1 year like that, and what happened was they had a couple of people laying the first 3 sedras, and they got towards the end of Eikov. He looked at me and he said, please come and finish up.
Zip it up. Yeah. Zip it up. Okay, it's not for the faint of heart. In our generation, where precious attention span is not more than 10 seconds, Mishneh Torah is not for the faint of heart. What's going to be when Mashiach comes? I don't know. They're going to have some type of...
That way, you know what I mean?
They're going to have some type of way to repair our attention span to be able to listen for longer periods of time. In any event, what's the next minute? After you finish the Mishnah Torah, the next thing you do is you stay up the whole night saying Tehillim. Why do you say Tehillim? Well, one is because since it's the Yom Hadin, you want to say Tehillim to save yourself. Number two is it is the Ushpizin of David HaMelech. We'll go through the Ushpizin. Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, Moshe Aaron, Yosef, and then it's David. David is the last day of Sukkot, and thus, on the last day of Sukkot, we give kavod to David. The greatest kavod you can give to a person is to learn what they said. I ain oimdim lefnei hames el dvarav sholmes. A hesped, the ultimate hesped you give a person is to say over things that the person who you're speaking about. He was machadish. This is sensational. People are still talking about this. Rabbi, everyone knows who he is. Rabbi Eitan Feiner. Eitan Feiner is a genius. Everyone knows he's a genius of geniuses. He grew up in the White Shul for Rockaway. So Rabbi Avraham Shur in this neighborhood. So he's a very very famous, very chashuv rav, a tremendous Talmud Chacham. Doesn't need my introduction. So they make a dinner once a year to raise money, and they always have a guest speaker. So that one particular year, the guest speaker was Rabbi Eitan Feiner from the White Shul. So he comes to speak. So what did he do? He did what people are still talking about this. He spoke for a long time, and his entire drasha, Rabbi Shur, is a very big Talmud Chacham. He wrote probably 20 volumes already of Sfarim, all different topics, called Halekach VeHalibuf. Halekach, that's the name of his sar. A whole, at least 20 volumes of some very brilliant ideas. So it seems that by Eitan Feiner, he's such a genius, he knows all of the svarim by heart. He's a genius. He knows all. So he made a drasha. What was the drasha? He wove together a whole drasha exclusively from the ideas of the rabbi of the shul. They made a dinner to raise money for the shul. The rabbi of the shul was Rabbi Shur. And Rabbi Shur wrote 20 volumes. And Rabbi Eitan Feiner was the guest speaker. And he didn't say his own ideas. He didn't quote from a B'nai Yisoschar. He didn't quote from a friend. Or by any big famous rabbi. He went and he said over the rabbi's chidushim. In a very brilliant way, where he said, it says in this volume, on this page, on this paragraph, and we can understand what this means by looking at what the rabbi said on this page, in this paragraph, in this volume. That's how you give cover to a person. You give cover to a person by saying over the ideas that person was machadish. That's exactly what you do on Hoshana Rabbah. It is the Ushpizin of David HaMelech. How do you give honor to David HaMelech? You read his work. You read Tehillim. That's the cover you give David HaMelech. That's a very big thing to do. That's a very big thing. But then, of course, the other reason you do your cover is it is, after all, you're saying Tehillim because it's a very holy day. Now, there's another thing which it says in the Ramah to do, which we don't do anymore, is you're supposed to go outside on a Hoshana Rabbah and look for the moon. Look for the Levana, not to say it's too late to say Kiddush Levana, but you go, you see the moon, then the moon reflects the light of the sun, and it does, and you see if the moon, you stand and you see your shadow. You look at your shadow, the shadow that you make by standing between yourself and the moon. And
at
if
that time it's waning already.
Not necessarily. Hopefully it's not raining by that. Yeah. We don't say Geshem. We're not mispell for Geshem until Shmini Atzeres. So hopefully it's not yet raining on Hoshana Rabbah. On the night of Hoshana Rabbah, it's a clear night. You go outside. It's clear night. You go outside and the moon is still out there. The moon is not a full moon anymore because it's already the 20th day of the month. It's the 20th day of the month, so the moon already is on its way out. But there's plenty of light. The moon is still pretty big. And it's a nice clear night, the moon should cast a degree of light, and you stand there, turn off all the lights in the city, you tell the mayor to shut down all the electricity in the entire city so there are no lights, and the only light is the light of the moon, and you see your shadow. If your shadow is double the size of your body, you're in good shape.
This Sunday night's gonna be
but if the shadow is not double the size, it's a very bad sign. And if you're a Mekubal, you're a Kabbalist, if you look carefully at the shadow, you can see in your shadow all everything that's going to happen this year. Some say it only works if you're naked. I saw it only works if you're totally naked. You have to stand in the street completely naked, and the moon will cast its light and it produce a shadow, and you study the shadow, and by looking at the shadow, you know exactly where you're holding. And if the results are not good, you have one more chance to daven tomorrow with all of your kavana. It says in all the places, it could be the Mishnah Berurah says this, maybe I don't remember, don't try this at home. That today, there is nobody today that knows what this means, what to do, how this works. This is ridiculous. Don't play with this. This is not something which we know what's going on. It doesn't mean anything today. We don't know how this thing works. But this is something which is cited. Everyone talks about this. What exactly does this mean? Is that on a Shana Rabbah, you look at your reflection. It's a very interesting idea because the moon itself is a reflection. The moon itself is a reflection of the sun. And you now, the person, is using the moon, which itself is just a reflection, to create your own reflection, so to speak, with a shadow to a certain degree, and to analyze, okay, what this means, no one knows, but this is a custom. It's a little bit over the top. It is such a custom that is decided. Some have the custom to stay up the entire night, to stay up the entire night of Hashanah Rabbah, just like people stay up the whole night for Shavuos. The only time that it's cited in the Rambam that you are supposed to stay up the whole night is Pesach night. It's the only time it says in the Rambam that you are mechuyev to stay up the entire night. To talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim. Doesn't say anywhere to stay up the night of Shavuos. It does say though, I mean there is a very strong meaning, it's probably just as strong as staying the night of Shavuos, is to stay up the night of Hashanah Rabbah. To stay up the night of Hashanah Rabbah, to daven, to learn, there are slichos that were composed to be said, and there's a tikkun, like there's a special nusach to say, tikkun lel Hashanah Rabbah. There are all different things that people do the entire night of Hashanah Rabbah, davening as kivos tikkun, because it's a very holy night. It's a very spooky time. It's a zman. It's a time of din.
But he says that why is you get the point is, God is giving you, you keep the promise that you made at Yom Kippur. You have till Hashanah Rabbah. If you go another week and actually are maintaining what you said you're going to do better this year, then okay, we give you that time to see, did it work? Oh, you just went back the day after the old ways. Now, we're canceling some of the good stuff that I've done. That's your...
You don't want the chashlom to happen.
Yeah, yes, it's a grace period to see if you're keeping.
It says something very interesting, which I've never seen this done, and no one does this today, but it says that in ancient times it was very common that to make a hachnosa sefer Torah on Hashanah Rabbah. You hear it today, there's a minute to make a hachnosa sefer Torah on Shavuos. Okay, but you don't hear about that today either too much anymore today. But this is something that he cites that in the Prima Gaudim, he brings us down even.
In Williamsburg, you'll see thousands of people going to Tashlich on Hashanah Rabbah.
Oh, Hashanah Rabbah, they go to Tashlich.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
wow.
So yeah,
we used to
I used to go. I used to take my father every year. We used to go to Manhattan Beach every year. Hashanah Rabbah, do Tashlich. But I didn't see it anyways. Is he really used to go to Tashlich on Rosh Hashanah?
Because that's, I guess they hold that the last day of the children.
The last day, it's the last. But the daf could go on that day, just because it's just.
I saw when I was working,
it's very very common. You go to Manhattan Beach, it's packed. Hashanah Rabbah. Unbelievable, the volume of people that come to Hashanah Rabbah to Manhattan Beach, unbelievable. Maybe even.
Is there any on Sukkot, and
Go to the water. Go to the water. Go to the water. Okay. Okay, that's another minute. Hashana Rabbah. Now, the Nusach HaTzvila on Hashana Rabbah in the morning is very, very unique. Everyone is aware that you daven the Psukei the Zimra of Shabbos. You don't daven the regular Psukei the Zimra on Hashana Rabbah. The Psukei the Zimra is the same, the long Psukei the Zimra, all of them is Mizmara. Except for Nishmas. And you show that over here, he brings down the Dig Avril, he has a long, very, very complex discussion about why not? Why not? Once you're already saying all of the other Mizmara, Why won't you say Nishmas? And in fact, there are many groups of Hasidim that do say Nishmas. Why not? Why shouldn't you say Nishmas? And even those who don't, they say Nishmas when davening is over. They save the Nishmas to after Oleinu. It's not that they don't say Nishmas. Nishmas is so great, save to the end. And we don't do that. None of us do that. We skip it. But we do add Mizmor Saita. That we do it on a regular Shabbos. You don't say Mizmor L'Seder because it's carbon toida. You don't bring a carbon toida. It's a carbon yachid. You chil Shabbos. You don't bring a carbon toida on Shabbos, but you can bring a carbon toida on Chol HaMoed. Nothing wrong with that. So even though we say the entire nusach of Pesukei the Zimra of Shabbos, we have to add Mizmor L'Seder. And what about Mizmor Shir L'Yoyim HaShabbos? Do you say that in Hashem Moloch? Do you say that, we do say that on Shabbos? Do you say that on Hashana Rabbah? So some do and some do not. Some hold that Mizmor Shir Shabbos is for Shabbos. It's not Shabbos, so you don't say it. You want to say Chol HaMoed, it's like Yom Tov, it's like Shabbos. You say Mizmor Shir Shabbos on Yom Tov, so maybe you should say Mizmor Shir Shabbos. Okay, so we all say it. Our custom over here is all to say Mizmor Shir Shabbos. Some say a much better reason why we say this because this requires an explanation. But when Adam met Cain, his son, and Cain killed Hevel. So Adam said to Cain, how are you still alive? You're a murderer. How could it be that you're still alive? You murdered your brother. Hashem didn't take you out. Hashem didn't punish you. So Cain said to Adam, I did teshuva, Dad. Dad, when you ate in the Eitz Hadas, you didn't do teshuva. But when I killed my brother Hevel, I did teshuva. And Hashem let me live. So Adam says, really? Wow. Mizmor Shir L'Yoyim HaShabbos. Toiv lo hoydis l'Hashem. Okay, the obvious question is, what is L'Yoyim HaShabbos have anything to do with teshuva? That's a separate topic of discussion.
Well, Rabbi Albert says that the reason Adam had eating from the Eitz Hadas touches upon what you said, was Adam couldn't do teshuva. What is teshuva? Yaskil lo yom hamisa. Well, Adam didn't have, he couldn't be maskil lo yom hamisa. He was going to live forever.
Okay, that's the explanation.
So therefore,
right?
The only thing he could do then was give a misa.
Interesting. I hear it.
That's
very
Rabbi
interesting.
Albert, that's what he says.
But the point is, this Mizmor Shir L'Yoyim HaShabbos is directly related to, it correlates to what? To Teshuva. And therefore, what better day is there to say Mizmor Shir L'Yoyim HaShabbos other than Chol Hashana Rabbah when it's the last day? It's the Gemar. Okay, do you say Shir HaMaalos before Baruch Hu on Hashana Rabbah? No, no one does that, right? They don't do that.
What?
Shir HaMaalos. And many shuls don't even say Shir HaMaalos to begin with during the Aseres Yemei Teshuva.
Lakewood has a very interesting minhag. They say Shir HaMaalos after Oleinu,
they say for the very end. Many yeshivas, they don't say Shir HaMaalos during a Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the Aseres Yemei Teshuva.
They say it afterwards.
But many shuls, the custom is very common, extremely common. Many shuls, you say Shir HaMaalos during the Aseres Yemei Teshuva. Do you say Shir HaMaalos on Hashana Rabbah? So we don't. We've never heard of this, but there are those who do. Bigu Chiddush, do you say HaMelech HaKadosh in the Shemona Esrei? That's ridiculous, right?
Right.
No, guess what? There are plenty of people who do. They say HaMelech HaKadosh. Do you say Le'ela Le'ela Mikol B'Rechosa V'Shirasa? Or you say Le'ela Minkol? Ridiculous, right? We say Le'ela Mikol, Le'ela Minkol. Who says, you have never heard this? All these things are chidushim. Never heard these. These are things.
We don't say
the Yigil Midos. We do. We do say. We do say the Yigil Midos. That's our custom. We say the same Yiratzon that you say on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and the Yiratzon. So and we say Shema Yisrael with the nigun of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and we say Kadosh Vinoy Ra Shemoi. So we do. It's a very big mix. It's a very big mix of different customs. What about the Kiddushah? The Kiddushah that we recite by Musaf. Do you say the long Kiddushah or the short? Do you say Nekadesh Hashem Chavol? Do you say Naritzcha V'Naktitzcha? Kitzoy Tziach Sarfei Kodesh? Do you do Shema Yisrael? Oz B'kol Rash Gadol? Do you do all these things? Do you do Hu Elok, Hu Avinu, Hu Malkeinu? So most of us do. Most Adir Adirenu. Most of us say the long Kiddusha during Chazaras Hashas, but not everyone. Not everyone. Some of them hold you still to say just the regular Nusach. There are many, many minhagim as to the Nusach Atim to reflect the fact. Now here's something very interesting. What about when it comes to taking the Dalad Minim on Hashanah Rabbah? There is a custom, and everyone does it their own way. There are many people who remove the rings of the Lulav. You take off the rings. You ever hear that before? To take off the rings. When do you take off the rings? So everyone does whatever. Today we live in the global melting pot. Do whatever you want and mind your own business. Do whatever you want. So I remember. One. I used to sit next to one particular person, Chaim Blin, on Hashanah Rabbah all the years. He did what he wanted to do. This doesn't mean no. I don't think anyone. I don't think there anyone has any minnow. You do whatever you want to do. It's a melting pot. You do whatever you want to go do. But I always remember him, always sticks out of my mind, that before the last hakafah of the Hashanis, he took off the rings. He had the rings on for the bracha, for the entire Hallel, and for six hakafas. When he got to the last hakafah, he took off the rings. Most of the things that I see over here, they say, no, take it off before you do all the hakafas. Some even take it off a halal. Okay, but when you make the bracha, everyone agrees that when you make the bracha, the ring should still be on. When you make the bracha on your lulav and esrog, the ring should still be on. Okay, now, one of the most important minhagim of Hashanah Rabbah, kreplach. Just joking. Okay, kreplach. Kreplach, okay, that's a minhag. You eat kreplach. 3 days a year, eat kreplach. Kreplach means you have meat that is hidden inside dough. It's because the din is hidden. Nobody knows what lays in store for the coming year. When do you have kreplach? On the 3 days that you do hakafah, and then you do makus. You hit on erev Yom Kippur. You get malchus. Remember we discussed this custom, people will get malchus, 39 lashes, make-believe malchus. Haman, on Purim, you hit Haman, you clap Haman, and on Hashanah Rabbah, you hit with the Aravos. Okay, that is the most important minhag, is to take the Aravos and to hit them on the ground. Now, where does this come from?
What's the connection of
hitting? It's just a simon. I don't know. It's just a simon. 3 days a year, there's a custom to eat kreplach. There's something hidden. Purim, the whole miracle was a hidden miracle. On Yom Kippur, is the Gemar Din. Maybe the din is sealed. It's the chasima. No one knows what lays in store for the next year. B'roish Hashana Yikos Sevun, Uviyoim Tzom Kippur Yechos Seimun. Hashanah Rabbah, it's like a second chance. It's also the din is hidden.
Well, I heard that similar to what the Rebbe was saying before, in other words, that they're hidden holidays, like Hashanah Rabbah.
Oh, very good.
Concept, it's hidden.
We don't need, right, very good. Why is Yom Kippur hidden?
And
Yom Kippur, why is it called hidden?
Yom Kippur. It's Erev Yom Kippur. Erev Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
That's also
a hidden holiday. Very nice. That's excellent. I never heard that. That's I really like that. But these are three hidden holidays.
He
said the reason why you eat kreplach on these 3 days because these 3 days are hidden holidays. We associate Yom Kippur to be the big day. No! Erev Yom Kippur is a holiday. People don't appreciate the fact that Erev Yom Kippur is a very big holiday. You're not allowed to fast on Erev Yom Kippur. Erev Yom Kippur is it's a hidden holiday that doesn't get credit. People does not get the credit it deserves. Purim is a hidden holiday. People don't appreciate what's going on in Purim. And Hashanah Rabbah, no one appreciates. It's a hidden holiday. Hashanah Rabbah, we do all these mystical things. It's because it's a very significant day, but it's hidden. It's not in the Torah. It doesn't tell you all of the hidden things that are happening on these days. Okay, but the most important thing that we do on Hashanah Rabbah is Arava. You take an Arava in your hands and you basically, what is the real thing? The real thing is just to shake it. It's to shake it. It's not to beat it on the floor. That's a Kabbalistic thing. Why? Zecher leMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, they took the Arava in their hands and they makif the Mizbeach. They walked around the Mizbeach holding just an Arava in one Arava. All you need, Me'ikar HaDin. Listen, this is one Arava with one leaf. Okay, they charge you quite
a bit.
So that's all a different thing. Let's first go there. Bizman Shabbos Hamikdash Hayakayim, every person would take an Arava and they would walk around the Mizbeach and then they would lean the Arava against the Mizbeach. That's what you do. That was the takana of the prophets. To take an Arava, one Arava. Okay, one Arava. You take one Arava. And you walk around the Mizbeach one time, and after you walk around one time, you take it and you lean it against the Mizbeach. The truth is, the Gemara mentions that there might be a meaning to actually bang it. That could be, there are two opinions in the Gemara, what you did when you finished walk around the Mizbeach, what you did with it. But everyone at the end of the day, they leaned it against the Mizbeach. And we don't have a Mizbeach, we have a Bima. But no one walks around, we don't do this. Nobody takes their Aravos and walks around the Bima with just the Arava. You don't do that. You walk around with the Lulav and the Esrog. You walk around with the Lulav and the Esrog, that was maybe a Zeich, that's a different topic. But no one takes the Arava itself and walks around the Bima. The Bima is not the Mizbeach, whatever. But we do take the Arava in our hands and hold it and shake it as a way of Zeicher leMikdash. Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash HaYakayam on Hashanah Rabbah. The Nevi'im, the prophets, they enacted, not the Chachamim. This is an ancient takana al pi nevuah. It's not in the Torah that on Hashanah Rabbah you should take a stick, one Arava, which has at least one leaf still attached, and hold it, walk around the Mizbeach and lean it against the Mizbeach. We today that do not have a Beis HaMikdash, do not have a Mizbeach, Zecher leMikdash, we take an Arava. At least all you need to be mekayim the minhag b'zman hazeh is one arava that has at least one leaf on it, to take it in your hand and shake it a little bit. That's it. All you need to do. We go to town. Al pi Kabbalah, this is pure Kabbalah. No, what this means is beyond our understanding. We're not satisfied with taking one. We take five. And we're not satisfied with just shaking it. We recite a whole pshetel. Tane emunim. A whole long drush, a whole long peel, we recite holding, and you shake it a little bit, the Arava. And when we're finished, you bang it. Where do you bang it? You bang it on the floor. The goal of banging is not to have the leaves fall off. That's a mistake. Adarava, if you bang it too hard the first time and all the leaves fall off, then you can't bang it a second time. You're only supposed to, you bang it on the floor normally. You don't have to go like with old Mikol Koichai. It's ridiculous. People do all these strange things. You have five Aravas, and you the goal is Zecher leMikdash, you give a little shakel. Some people, you know, they do the Nanu before they bang it on the floor. They do it like the Lulav, forward, the front, side, back, up, down. They do the Nanuim. Then you bang it on the floor five times, no more. Bal Tosef, not six, not seven, not even eight, and don't do four. You're supposed to take five of them and you bang it on the floor five times. How do you wrap them together? With rubber bands? Well, it's interesting. So some hold they should not be wrapped at all. They should be loose in your hands. Some hold you should be wrapped with lulav branches. And some go so far, this beautiful, this minhag, to take the ring, when you take off the ring off your lulav, when you do the Hashanis on Hashanah Rabbah, that ring that you take off, which is a lulav branch, you take that and you use it to tie kaven the Ava mitzvah achas, Ava mitzvah achrita. The ring that you take off, you take and you wrap around the five branches of the Arava. And then some say you shouldn't actually hold it. You should put the knot above your hand. Your hand should not be actually touching it. So it shouldn't be a chatzitza. And some hold you should not use a lulav. You should actually use the arava itself, the willow itself. Take another arava, and use it as a way to tie it up. It's when you go and you purchase the hashanis, look at how they were tied up. It's very interesting how they were tied up. Were they tied with rubber bands? It's fine. It doesn't matter. If it's rubber, it doesn't really make it. These are klein zachen, these things. Just you'll look. Interesting. You look. Sometimes you'll see they have rubber bands. Sometimes you'll see, depends who's selling, where they got them from. Some of them are tied up with aravos also. And many times today it's very common, they tie them up with a lulav. With a lulav branch. A lulav branch. And some say you shouldn't be tied altogether. And where do they tie it? Do they leave you enough room to hold on to it that it should not be a chatzitza? Five times, how tall should be three tvachim. L'chatchila, they should have a lot of leaves. L'chatchila, b'dievet, it's okay if they fall off. What happens if you forget to buy hashanis and you don't have hashanis? What do? So b'dievet, after you finish with your lulav and the esrog, after you take out the aravos from the lulav and you use those aravos. You only have two. It's fine. You don't need that five. Five is a hider. Two is also good. Even one is good. So if you forget to buy hashanis, you can't buy hashanis, b'dievet, you take out the aravos from your lulav and you shake it. There's a hider in having very tall aravos. Years ago, they don't do this anymore. Not anymore, but years ago, when I was many, many years ago, Chaim Bolin, who was like a mishagas, who could bring taller aravos? It was mamash mishagas, and they would bring for the rebbeim, so they would bring for the rashi. But literally, it looked like a forest. It was up to the ceiling, like 20 feet tall. I'm not joking. They would bring mamash, and every walk in there, oh, what's going on in here? Like a far, everyone had these massive, massive. I have my little, my little Hashan step on Avenue J. Today, man, today no one does anything. They stopped that. They put out the Mishagas.
On King's Highway, he moved, so he had in his backyard. It was from the ground, it was like
way up.
Way
up. There's a minute because the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash, the Mizbeach was 10 amas tall. It was really 9, but 9 amas. The corners, 10 amas, that's 20 feet. That's between 15 and 20 feet. People in the old days used to go and bring these massive trees into the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, there's a minute to this.
There's one Medrash, by the way, that says that it's not the Medrash Rabba, it's another Medrash. That said, later Medrash, that it was late going, and he says that the Aravos is the only one of the Aravimim that's used two different times. That's the way he says it. You use it as part of the Dalavinim and separate from the Dalavinim. And he makes that there's a reason for that. There's different kinds of bad people.
A lot of this stuff, there's a lot of drush, but we're not going to go through all these things, but basically this is all... This is all Alpi Kabbalah to do that to bang it on the ground five times. And now after you bang it on the ground five times, there is such a custom to then bang it violently on a chair to cause its leaves to fall off.
Depends on your marriage.
But you have to do it. You see, basically you can do three things. You want to do the shlemus of the Hashanahs. You do the nanuim with the Hashanah, because that's really the ikar. The ikar is to shake it. The ikar is not to bang it on the floor. That's Kabbalah. That's all Kabbalah. The ikar is to shake it. And the way you shake is the nanuim. You do like, whatever you do to the lulav, that's what you do with the hashanis. That's really the ikar. Then comes Kabbalah. Kabbalah is you bang it on the ground exactly five times. And you don't have to bang it violently. There's no inyan to bang it where the leaves fall off. You bang it on the ground. Like a mensch. You don't have to go bang it like a wild person. Then after you finish that, then there is an inyan to remove its leaves. There is such a thing to remove it, and that you don't need the ground. Then you can bang it on the table or on the chair just one or two times, that some of the leaves should fall off. And then what do you do with it? You throw it on top of the Aron HaKodesh. Okay, you throw it on the Aron HaKodesh. I'll tell you a quick drush. Out of time, why on the Aron HaKodesh? There are two times a year you decorate the Aron HaKodesh. Two times a year. When? Shavuos and Simchas Torah. Shavuos is spend a fortune of beautiful flowers to decorate elaborately the Aron HaKodesh. Simchas Torah, when you do HaKavas HaSimchas, when you come around, what do you see on top of the Aron HaKodesh? The Oiske Klab to Hashanis. Right? That's.
I thought they threw the logo on top.
They do it also. That's a mishigas. That's a mishigas. The rule of, I also throw the
rule. What do you do with the law of method?
They go in the garbage. That's
where. Supposedly they start the fire for the matzah.
Right, you're supposed to save for the matzah. So save for
the
matzah.
I told you, my grandfather.
You burn the chametz.
He used the lepla from the lula for his bookmarks.
So why do you decorate twice a year? The Aron HaKodesh is decorated. Shavuos, it's decorated with flowers, and Simchas Torah, it's decorated with Hashanis. The Oiske Klap to Hashanis. Why? Very simple. Shavuos is the Zman of the Haschola. Yoim Matan Torah Seinu. Simchas Torah, you celebrate concluding, learning, achievement in Torah. What are the Hashanis? The Hashanis is a Zecher L'Mikdash, where they put the Hashanis around the Mizbeach. Mizbeach represents sacrifice. Sacrifice. The ultimate beauty of the Torah is what you gave up to achieve success in the study of Torah. That's the beauty. On Simchas Torah, you're celebrating achievement. You get your diploma. On Shavuos, you're celebrating it's orientation day. It's the first day of class. You know, you get your assignments. I remember Mr. Marillas, the first day of class, he gave these little cards. What are those cards called?
The Delaney cards.
You're the only one that had Delaney cards, I think. And you had your book. Every student was in a certain position in your book, corresponding to where they sit in class, put all the grades. You were very mesuder. That is Shavuos. Shavuos is the first day of class. Yeah, Simchas Torah is graduation. What?
I had 150 students in public school and another 60 in the yeshiva, so it's hard to remember the name.
Of course.
It takes until November, December before you basically
get one's name. So Simchas Torah is graduation day. When it comes to graduation, what is the beauty of the Torah? The sacrifice that you made in life in order to reach this moment to have accomplishment in Torah. What are the Hashanis? The Hashanis is a zecher for the Hashanis being surrounded around the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach means sacrifice. So that's why these 2 days of the year we celebrate, we beautify the Aron with different objects. Okay, we do. So, what are there other minhagim on Hashanah Rabbah? On Hashanah Rabbah, you have to have a suda. Many people have to have a formal. In certain communities, after davening is over, they go home and have a regular Yom Tov suda. And then, only in Eretz Yisrael and Chutzlars, they have Yitzia Min HaSukkah, the whole ceremony to recite a the Nusach, where you take leave of the Sukkah, Yitzia Min HaSukkah. You kiss the sukkah, you say the yehiratzon of the sukkah, the zan shan rabbi, all those the dun erichal. And this is a very fascinating thing. I'll leave this last thing, and then tell you a very short drush. And that is the shamos of the Beis HaKnesses. You write a whole sefer, the shamash. They don't have it anymore. Shuls today don't have a real shamash anymore. Everywhere in Maine, it used to be such a thing. Remember Reverend Friedman, Yom Yisrael Flapush?
Okay.
You know, Yisrael Avenue Jed to some degree also. Remember Mr. Stein, and they had the Russian.
Edelman.
Edelman. There used to be something called a shamash. Today it doesn't exist. Kama doesn't exist anymore.
Gaba,
yeah, the Gaba, the president, this, that. There's no such thing anymore as a shamash.
He used to also be the Balkar.
The shamash, or the Barak, the different serves same functions. A shamash. And, you know, it's a very, very fascinating, who is the shamash? What is his role? What is his purpose? What exactly does he do? He has here a section which blew my mind. What it says over here. It says that the shamash is the one who distributes or sells the hashamas. You don't just go to Avenue J and find a kid and buy hashamas. You don't go to your backyard and cut down some hashamas. That's not the way it works. The hashamas are given to you by the one and only shamash of Yerushalayim.
So all the given.
Well, obviously, I think it's evolved over generations where it's sold, where obviously they sell, right? Who makes the money? By the way, does the shul get the money? Does the shamash get the money? Yeah, that's not the point. The money is not everything. It's the only thing. but besides that, forget about the money. It's an incredible thing he writes here, is that the minig used to be that the hashanis are miyuchid for the shamash. The shamash has certain things no one else does. The shamash, he likes the Chanukah, so he's supposed to really like the Chanukah menorah. The shamash, there are certain things that are his domain. You don't chapel. You don't chapel.
Makes kiddush.
There's certain things that are miyuchid. It is the domain of the shamash to give out to hashanis. I never heard such a thing like this. Why? So he writes, the Gemara says that in the Beis Hamikdash, who gave you the hashanis to walk around the Mizbeach and put it on the Mizbeach? Who put it? The Shaluchei Bezdin. Not the Kohanim, not the Pirchei Kohuna, not, you didn't do it yourself. When you came to the Beis Hamikdash to be Mekayim, the Takonas Nevi'im, the Takona of the Prophets, it was done through Bezdin. The Shaluchei Bezdin gave you the Hashanahs. It's almost like being that this minhag is a minhag that comes from the Nevi'im. You don't just do by yourself. It has to be done through the Bezdin. The Shaluchei Bezdin. The Shamash in the Beis HaKnesses serves as the Shaliach of the Bezdin, symbolically, to give you the Hashanahs. You don't just go out to Avenue J and pick up your own Hashanahs. Obviously today, that's not true anymore. Obviously today we live in a very different world and everything has been watered down to a point where it's not recognizable of what it used to be. But everyone here still remembers something called a shamash. I challenge you to find me a shul today that has a real shamash. Not flappish, that's for sure. You don't have a shul? Well, your shul have a real shamash?
He's the Balkari and he gets paid a lot of, that's why he gets what he gets.
And he's a shamash? He has the style of shamash? Interesting. Could be, you know, I think now in the Spanish Portuguese synagogue, my cousin's a rabbi, I think they have a shamash. He's a chashuv guy.
That's the one that Messi brought outside, Sexton.
Sexton, yeah. Could be, yeah. So he's talking the shamash.
He's
Sephardi. The one they give us is a very, very chashuv. I like him very much. Very chashuv guy. A shamash. Taki, they do have, that's an old fashioned shul, the real deal. But this is a very interesting principle.
He had the title of Reverend.
Reverend. Right, yeah. Friedman. Reverend Friedman, the youngest little Flappish.
Right.
Reverend, and Hitaka was very big into the Hashanahs. He provided Avenue J with the Hashanahs. It was his thing. And I'm reading this over here, it blows my mind. Because that's the way it was. Why? And he explains. Because it's Zeich LeMikdash. In the Mikdash, it's Takonas Nevi'im. And when Takonas Nevi'im has a partner, a Navi has a Bezdin that goes with him. A Navi is not a standalone. A Navi is part of an institution, and the institution has a Bezdin. And the Gabbai, so therefore, it was B'davka, the Shaluchei Bezdin that distributed to the people their Hashanahs. So B'zman Hazeh, you don't just get your Hashanahs in your backyard. You get it from the Shaluchei Bezdin. Who's the Shaluchei Bezdin? The Shamos serves as the role of the Shaluchei Bezdin. There's a lot of depth into that. All right, I want to tell you a very short Vart, Drush, before we conclude, very, very short. Sukkah, from all the mitzvahs, I hope there are no women listening to this, but it doesn't matter, because at the end, it comes out, they come out ahead with this Vart. All the mitzvahs, the mitzvah that women really have possibly the least connection to, not going to like this, is sukkah. You know why? Because Chazal say, kol kvuda bas melech penima. The whole essence of sukkah is leave your home. Leave the bias. Say, mediras keva, vikaneis lediras arai. You never tell a woman to leave the home. The woman is the ikeres habayis. Now, don't tell me the women, the breadwinners, I know that a lot. We're talking about, you know, let's talk about the Mamari Chazal. We're not talking practical 21st century America. That's a whole shayla. It's a whole shayla.
Yeah, I know.
And you know, there's no such women that eat matzah. Why? We make gzeres shavat tesvavi. Why it's zman grama? Gzeres takasa. So why don't women sleep in the sukkah? Why don't women chayv in sukkah? Why don't they make the same exact drasha? It goes against the grain of everything called kineged kol haTorah kula. In the Torah, there's a principle called kivuda bas melech pinima. To say to a woman, say, leave the house, go out. It's impossible. Women don't do, they don't do kish levana. Why not? Why don't you do kish levana? Because kish levana, you have to tell them, leave the house in the dark of night to go find the levana. You don't tell a woman to go leave the house into darkness, dangerous place to go do kish levana. So what? It's not fair. So zelo fair. You tell a woman to exclude a woman from the mitzvah? Are you talking? To do something like that, is that nice? Is that nice to go to a woman to make a mitzvah that women have no shaykhs in? So the answer is, Chazal were very sensitive to this. And they compensated. How do they compensate? They created something called Ushpizin. Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, and David. Seven Ushpizin. Now let me ask you. They have over here in the shul the Ishei HaTanach, art scroll edition of the Ishei HaTanach. I could open up the Ishei, I can give you 100, 200, 300 people in Tanach that are very good people who have accomplished very great things. Why did Chazal select for the Ushpizin these seven people? From all the people. You can go down the line. There are hundreds of people you can select from. Why Dafka? Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, and David. Why? So the answer is, this is a drush. Chazal are very sensitive to the fact that this mitzvah, women really don't have a part in. So you know what they did? They invited men who were made by their wives. They invited men. We invite Ushpizin, each one, it's very fascinating, you look at the wives of these seven men, these were power women. Each one, go down the line. I don't have to tell you, Asar, Rivka, Roch, and Leah, okay? I don't got to point it out to you. Moshe, Tzipora, Chasan, Dom, Mamulos, okay? Chasan, Dom, Mamulos, she saved his life. She saved, the Malach swallowed him up. And she gave him Musa. This is what you do. You put me in Skan, our chanson. Ki Hassan. There's a lot of Torah on that pas. Ki Hassan dam atal amos. We'll get David the most. Shlomo, the only Shlomo was only because you want to go to David. Why is Shlomo the Melech? Basheva, she stood for her rights. If she would have been quiet, Adon Yoven Chagis would have been the Melech. Basheva, a very elaborate plan. With Nosan Hanavi, I'll go first, you come second. David, you promised me that my son Shlomo will be Yoshev Al Kisai. She was a very powerful woman, extremely bold beyond belief what she did, to go guarantee that the Malchus she made in her line. What about Aaron? Elisha, she only appears once in the whole Torah. Only once in the whole Torah. Elisheva bas Aminadav Achais, it's one of the longest psukim in the whole Torah. From that, Achais Nachshon, from that pasuk Chazal, that when you get married, you better check out who your wife's brothers are. The whole essence of who you should marry, who your wife should be, who should be your wife, comes from Elisheva bas Aminadav Achais Nachshon. Every single man, when he gets married, when he goes through the process of getting married, he's coming on to Elisheva. Not a powerful woman, not powerful enough. She's the model. Yosef, who did he marry? Osnas. Who's Osnas? Osnas Bas Bos Babu Sheva. This is Mamish, you talk about a Shidduchim. Who is he going to marry, Yosef? In Mitzrayim, in a dungeon? Hashgacha Pratis, the daughter of Dina. The Mais with Shechem, Shechem Bini, Osnas Bas Botifera. Chazal tell us, the many perishim, is the daughter of... is the daughter of Dina. Dina was pregnant from Shechem. Dina got pregnant from Shechem. And what were they going to do with this girl? So the Yaakov Avinu wrote a kineya, an amulet. Bas Potifera. They wrote a kineya, they sent it down to Egypt. Potifera raised her. She raised her as a stepdaughter. It was Yosef's cousin.
Was killed by,
what? Right, it was Yosef's cousin. He married his cousin. He married his cousin. Wait, it was his niece?
His niece.
Okay, his niece. He married his niece. It was Mishpacha. So, there was, and she raised Ephraim and Menashe. Now my cousin, he has a very big thing on this. He has Rembrandt. He has a painting. He's such a magist. He's one of his big famous speeches, Soloveitchik. Right. My cousin Soloveitchik. He this is one of his biggest, most popular speeches. There's a picture from him, Rembrandt, and in that picture they show in that painting Rembrandt, Birchas, Yaakov Avinu blessing Ephraim and Menashe before he seek Elas Yadav. Rembrandt had a painting of him blessing, crossing his hands, like the whole Maisa. And in that painting, in the corner, is a woman. So who is that woman? Why did he put that woman in that? So I think Rembrandt, that was Osnas. In this painting, I have to go online and find this lecture from Rabbi Soloveitchik.
Yeah, he also did the painting on the Purim story.
So it's based on the Medrash. Now Rembrandt is a guy. What does he know from? What does he know from this?
1642 was the Purim one, and the other one was also the Medrash.
What does he know from this? Obviously, someone told him some details.
People, they read the Bible. And
yeah, but where does this come from? Osnas. This is very fascinating. Yeah. Osnas was a major player in Klal Yisrael. The fact that you say Yisim Lekim Kefayim Lechem Menashe, who raised them? Osnas raised them. Osnas was a major force in raising. You say, why do you say Ephraim Menashe? Because they were raised in Golos and they came out just fine. How did they come out just fine? Their father was busy working the whole day, his head off, as the viceroy of Mitzrayim. How was he Zoicha? How was Ephraim and Menashe able to survive when their father was sitting the whole day in the palace dealing with all the Meshugayim there? Because they had a mother who raised them. Who raised them?
Well,
Osnas, Bas Potifera. Osnas. Osnas was no...
That's part of Yudu, Albirke, Yosef, was Menashe, and Ephraim was Yaakov. That's right.
They're different roles. But Osnas had a major role. So the point only is that don't think Noshim don't have a part in this mitzvah. We invite into the sukkah only men that have very powerful wives. All the men that you invite into the sukkah were influenced by their wives. That's who we invite into the sukkah. Just because the mitzvah of sukkah is tzei v'didas keva, and an isha feels uncomfortable, because Chazal tell us, the pasuk, kol kavuda, I'm not making this up, kol kavuda bas melech penima. Okay, so what? So what? The men that come into the sukkah, who made you? Who made you who you are? Your wife. These are men with very powerful women who have an incredible influence over Klal Yisrael. Okay, we're going to stop over here. Mishnah tomorrow, we'll try the same thing at 10:30. Mitzvah Hashem.
Mazal tov to Ezra and Emily Fried. They had a grandson.
Mazal tov. Mazal tov. A grandson, you said?
Yeah, I think in Eretz Yisrael.
Mazel
tov. Yes, thank you very much.
Did you make it to Eretz Yisrael? You were supposed to go. Very nice, very nice.
Yeah.
Mazel tov.
It'll be a
Shmini Atzeres purse. Oh, wow.
No.
How do we know that the lineage of Judaism goes through the mother?
Yeah, no, I will see.
How do we know that it goes to the pasuk?
Yeah.
It's a pasuk, so I don't remember. I don't know. It's a pasuk. The Lord has a
dodge. It's my granddaughter's question. I don't know.
Okay, believe me, I'll try to look it up. It's a pasuk in Chumash. It's a pasuk in the Gemara. How do we know that the lineage, the halacha, goes through the mother. What was that? What was that? How do you know the lineage goes through the mother?
Can you say that your mother of the, how come it's not from your father? Because it's only from your mother. It's in the Devarim. Can you say that Chicha Ben Imecha? Why you do it like that? That's the limud on that pasuk.
Parashas Kiseitzei.
Very good, because I gave a speech on what I started to mention in Shia. Why? Because these were the seven people who never had a Taina. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu was what we learned in Malachi. God, all the other Nevi'im, as great as they were, they had Taina to Kadosh Baruch Hu. These seven people didn't. They accepted everything that they got. But this, in my shul, this will go over big.
not the first part. The first part, the one we don't like, called Kavuda Hanok Panima.
No, but you answer it by that way. Yeah, of course. But absolutely.
Some people, the question is is more disturbing than the answer. You gotta know your audience. They're not allowed. Don't come in. Don't contaminate the sukkah.
When I was in the sukkah in Hillman,
yeah,
Nat Karpa for our three buildings, the GHEJ, he didn't allow women in the sukkah. A woman couldn't go into the sukkah to eat until he died. He wouldn't allow because there were too many men. We didn't have enough room for the women, so he didn't allow women.
That's
the
reason
sukkah.
Why?
No, but a lot of women were very upset because they wanted to sit down and eat. But it was 100% male in the sukkah. In Williamsburg, you wouldn't see. Never. Nowadays things have changed a lot.
There used to be.
You see milchiks at a bris already in Williamsburg. You started to see milkshakes.
We can't afford it.
No. Because people just feel at 8:30 in the morning, chicken is not the way to go.
I think it's sleepaway camp, but the cook, I was the head waiter in sleepaway camp. The cook said it was cheaper to have a chicken dinner than have a milk.
Of course, it's very difficult.
Fish is expensive. Yeah, definitely.
We have
bagels, lox is expensive.
Fish or egg salad.
In camp during the 9 days, we used to do a seal because it's hard to have three milk meals a day. You had a milk lunch. Usually people have lunch to cook sandwich or something. When you're sitting down for a meal, and then how do you have another meal?
I was surprised that Friday, I was very good. There were a lot of women who were too young to come to the center came to get Friday. They said that some of their friends told them to talk on the parish.
So every week on Friday, you give a Friday.
At 12 o'clock. At 11:15. Last week they asked me to start 11, but I said, the people don't know, they're not coming. I have to tell them.
So how many people have done it?
Now we had late Friday, I had about 15, 16, but it used to be a few of the women that were there were spaced out. They had all families already, but they all never, they died.
Those are the ones that really understood you.
Yeah, right. They were in the Siddich Nesula Pardes already. They were listening to Choria Pargun. No, but now I have people, they ask questions. But I had, one is very good. I gave when I was between them for Meyer, so we were going to daven right away. I said, no, we'll daven Meyer right away. I just want to mention one I'll offer. And so we say, the question. I said, unless anybody has any other questions. It was a half hour until I finished with the question. Of course, we had I've been with Myra already. So I had Tanayahara, I had 15, 16 men, but young boys, they had a lot of shyness. So we ended up doing the daven, and I said I was going to tell you to say Kriyashma when you got home, we don't have Kriyashma. My wife, when I came home, she said, where were you? Last night you were home earlier. I said, yeah, that's good. But I felt so good, I walked home, I felt great. Do you know what really got me? Way more shul on Shabbos before Sukkot. One of the guys who come to the center, you're not a full guy, all of a sudden I saw him in the distance walking towards me when I was going home from shul. I said, what are you doing? He said, I can't see you at Shabbos. I I said, what? He said, now I don't have, I said, so he knew where I am, so he never could be sure. And he had a type of child. And he was a severe child. He had to go to the hospital. They told him to come through. He was very open. And they wanted to know if it's better. They told him to come through, so they went. They wanted to know if it's better. Then the second day, he said, that's what I bought him on the TV. In other words, I see, I made, he got the picture ready of things that I say, so I'm like, well, very nice. Getting response to that. He stayed up, my mother got upset with me, because normally she would say go to bed, but there were times when she didn't tell me, you'll take a nap, and then, if I used to want to have a vacation, I wanted to sleep late, she always would say, I don't say you should sleep, you'll get up, you go to school, you'll come home, you'll take a nap, that was when she always say, and she would tell me the same thing again and again, the day her father died. He pulled down the, he really mommaged and died a few hours later. That's still the guy. He wasn't feeling it. But he was so overwrought that he was on top of that house. He hated this because he really grew up to go across the street from Mother Goss where he lived. That he pulled out all the shades in the house, hospital shelters he had on the ground floor. He had a house on the ground floor. That God forbid somebody to look at the house and see that I got to do this, it would be mortified. See, it was dark. Shades, the lights are off, and he died via fetus.
And if you know his
and then he died. Yeah, he had a stroke and died.
What was the name of your grandfather?
Arya Roth.
Roth?
Roth, yeah. So, he was so mortified, so, she took, he used to repeat this 1,000 times, so,
My grandfather, my mother's father was a shaman in, what's it called? Purple. Showing the depression. My mother said she never felt the depression because her father always had a job during the depression. But people for sure, there were millions of people. Some of them jumped off the roof and said, who knows what they did?
Yeah.
He was a shop, he did everything. You know, everyone's Hebrew name, but he did everything.
My mother said she had one time when she was a girl, when she was a teenager, during the depression. She was Fred Calder. And she stuck it out the window when a lady came flying past her head.
Oh.
She committed suicide and went right past her. She had her head out the window talking to her friend Doris. She said, and a lady just went, woo! Like that. It was a network, you don't forget that.
How many issues did you have?
Oh, very.
My pleasure.
But I didn't know that before. The last thing you spoke about was very interesting. And it's a thing.
What?
No, about the streets. Seven of them because of the words.
That sounds like this. That's a drush. Ezra Mazel Tov.
Thanks.
Baruch Hashem, good news. Everything worked out with your mother?
Baruch Hashem, everything worked out, yeah. Whether I spoke about the issue with the AIDS.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Baruch Hashem, one of the AIDS is one of you to cover.